podcasts of the WDWNT network are made possible each and every week by listeners like you and the following fantastic sponsors. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or board the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. You book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort between November 1st, 2009 and March 27th, 2010, you could purchase 7 nights for the price of 4 at a Disney Moderate or Deluxe Resort. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. Resales DVC is your home for Disney Vacation Club resales. Whether you're buying or selling your part in the Disney Vacation Club, Resales DVC is prepared to walk you step-by-step through the process and make sure your experience is as pleasant as possible. For pricing, availability, and more information, be sure to contact Grandma Jackie and Kin at www.resalesdvc.com or by phone at 866-544-2919 to make your vacation dreams come true.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-hey.
There's no turning back now.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship, our planet has sailed through the universe of time.
Put up 2, 5, and 7.
Launch us now!
Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Sorry, lady.
I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
You made it! I knew you would.
Hi, hello, and welcome. Welcome to our show.
Welcome to the WDW News Today podcast, a variety show celebrating the Walt Disney World Resort and its fans. At this time, please welcome your party host, Tom Corliss.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the WDWNT podcast. This is a very late episode 114 for October 15th, 2009. Kick off this week's show, we have the return of one of our newest segments, The Golden Age. In this controversial discussion featuring the wilds of Adventureland at the Magic Kingdom, we will continue our quest land by land, area by area, and space by space throughout the Vacation Kingdom to find out what is truly the Golden Age of the entire Walt Disney World Resort. Following that, we have a very special audio segment provided by our own Brandon Struve as he takes us inside the brand new Sum of All Thrills Interventions exhibit, presented by Raytheon, which opened earlier this week. Brandon will walk us through the entire interactive attraction, and you'll even get to hear the entire pre-show for this thrilling new Epcot experience. So what are you waiting for? Let's celebrate another week of Walt Disney World information and fun on the WDW News Today podcast.
Chance living.
Ancient Rome or Greece? Athens or Sparta? Birthday Land or Starland? Let us find out when was the golden age of the Walt Disney World Resort.
Welcome to another edition of The Golden Age, where we try and find out somehow, mathematically, what is the golden age of the entire Walt Disney World Resort. That's right, we're going land by land, space by space, and area by area to find out just when that was. So joining me for the segment this evening, Mr. Chris Lestraps.
Present.
Yep. Justin Heyman.
How's it going?
Back from Walt Disney World.
Woo.
Anthony Aculo.
Here.
And Scott Smith.
Aloha.
Yes, aloha indeed, because this time on the Golden Age, thanks to voting on the WDWNT Network community forums, we're going to be talking about the Golden Age of Adventureland at the Magic Kingdom. So as usual, I'm going to read off the various eras people can choose from in this segment. Tonight, we actually have six eras, quite a few. And based on the responses of our entire panel, we will pick when was the Golden Age of Adventureland, and that will go into our final equation that will be solved many, many months from now. So let's talk about these eras. Let's start. In the 1971 era, we have the Tropical Serenade or Enchanted Tiki Room, the Jungle Cruise, the Swiss Family Treehouse, getting into the some other stuff, Safari Club Arcade, restaurants, you have the Sunshine Tree Terrace, the Veranda Juice Bar, the Adventureland Veranda Restaurant, getting into shopping, the Adventureland Bazaar, the Tiki Tropic Shop, the Magic Carpet, Oriental Imports Limited, Tropic Toppers, and Traders of Timbuktu. Quite a selection. Getting into the 1973 era, you have Pirates of the Caribbean added, along with Caribbean Plaza, El Pirata y El Piroco, which is never open now, and the wonderful Caribbean Arcade, which also no longer exists. We then flash forward to the 1998 era. Pirates of the Caribbean is made politically correct during a lengthy refurbishment. We have the brand new Enchanted Tiki Room under new management. The Veranda Juice Bar is replaced by the Aloha Isle Juice Bar, where you can pick up your fantastic Dole Whips. The Adventureland Veranda is now permanently closed. You have Lion King and various character meet and greets added to Adventureland, and the former ticket booth has become the Adventureland kiosk and later on Buana Bob, so another store in Adventureland. In the 2001 era, we have the addition of the Magic Carpets of Aladdin and a switchover of those shops to the Agrabah Bazaar and the Zanzibar Trading Company. The 2006 era, we have Pirates of the Caribbean refurbished and a bunch of additions from the popular film series, as well as the brand new live show, Captain Jack Sparrow's Pirate Tutorial. And then finally, the 2009 era, we have the addition of the Pirates League, and the Pirate Tutorial now has its own little permanent stage. So quite a bit to cover here, quite a few eras. When was the Golden Age of Adventureland? We're about to find out, and we're going to start with Mr. Chris Lestraps.
I am going to select 1998.
Wow. I told you Chris was going to shock people before we started recording.
Yay! It's a shocker. And there's a different, a lot of thinking going on in my mind because of this. Because I felt like Adventureland kept getting better progressively through the years until 1998, and that's kind of the peak year, and kind of slowed down a little bit. I think Tiki Room under new management, say what you say it is about now, I felt it was a very bold move by management at the time, and I like it because it separates it from the original attraction, it separates it from Disneyland. And I'm the kind of person that likes the fact that they're going to have attractions that are different from place to place. I think it makes it unique. And a lot of people may find it dated now and they're ready for refurb now, but I think at the time it surely was something unique and brought a new thing to the table. And it's the first time we see Don Rickles in a Disney attraction, and I'm a huge fan of Don Rickles, so that's nice there.
What about Phil Hartman?
Exactly, and Phil Hartman.
Was supposed to be in the pre-show for Alien Encounter before the big sort of redo Michael Eisner brought about between 94 and 95, that he did get into an attraction finally before he passed away. He got into Tiki Room under new management, the pre-show.
And I think that banter they have in that pre-show is actually great. I think it's very underrated pre-show throughout the Magic Kingdom. And like you said, this is before he had his tragic end, but it's a great to have him. To me, he's kind of an icon of me growing up. So it's kind of nice to have him new attraction. Pirates becoming PC, you know, to me, I'm kind of like stable on this. I understand it. It's kind of fun. I think the Pirates afterwards, the next Pirates update we have is the film becoming part of the attraction. And I don't know. One of the best things I enjoyed about going to see Pirates of the Caribbean and when I went to Disneyland Paris was the fact that I didn't see Barbossa and I didn't see Jack Sparrow. And it's nothing against those characters. I love the films. I'm a huge fan of the film franchise. But there's something about the purity of seeing that attraction without those characters. And then there's someone part of me when I go to one of those rides, I wish they weren't there. And extension of that, I'm not a big fan of the Pirates League. So, yeah, it's great for the kids. I love that. But I can't gain any value out of that. I think I've said this many times before, I'm not a fan of the whole Magic Carpets Aladdin thing. We don't need another twirly ride.
You don't have to convince me. I was there for opening day and didn't go on it.
Yeah, we don't need more twirly rides in the Magic Kingdom. And hopefully Dumbo, the new Dumbo, is going to be a better twirly ride than we ever had a twirly ride before. But that doesn't... Dole Whip's having a nice new established place. Love the Dole Whips. Can't argue with that. Now we got Dole Floats. The introduction of Lion King characters. When you have Lion King as the most successful hand-drawn animated film ever in Disney history, to me that's a big step for them being introduced in the park. And obviously Adventureland is the perfect place for them. And so to me, Adventureland has this very special place in my heart for Walt Disney World. I think it's great. And I think it progressively got better through the years. But to me, the peak year was 1998. So that's why my vote lies there.
There you go. Very detailed. He laid everything out for us. So Mayor Justin Heyman, your rebuttal.
My rebuttal. Well, I'll agree with Chris on one front, which is that Adventureland has gotten better over the years. But I don't think that the culmination of this was in 1998 by any stretch of the imagination. And I think, you know, it has to be 2009. And it's 2009 basically because of the changes to 2006 with characters from the movie being added and really enhancing our pirates. And where our pirates versus Disneyland suffers from a lack of space, and therefore maybe a little bit of a lack of story, and I'm going to steal this from Tom, really it really enhanced our story with the addition of the characters, and it really did, and I truly believe that, and I'm just stealing it from Tom.
Yeah, we had a pretty lackluster finale, and sure, the Jack Sparrow one I think could be better, but I think that finale always sort of left you like, oh, that's the end of the ride, especially when in California they always had the big explosive finale. The pirates are shooting the dynamite.
Absolutely. And at least it's something, you know, I wrote it a few times this past trip. And folks who I felt weren't necessarily, you know, Disney World regulars at least got a chuckle out of it. Like, oh, there's Jack again. You know, and it was a nice thing for them. And for us, those of us who know what it's lacking from its West Coast counterpart, it was definitely a nice addition. And then in 2009, they solidified the pirate tutorial by adding a stage that is themed beautifully to Caribbean Plaza. And the Pirate League is, at least it's using a space that wasn't used before, you know, recently at least. And two, it's offsetting a bit of the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique craze that's going on with something geared more towards boys, though both establishments do have boy and girl offerings. You know, it's a nice enhancement, and quite honestly, it definitely is bringing the money for Disney, because I don't know how many skeleton pirates I saw walking around the park. I couldn't even count them. So anything that brings in money for the park and not out of my pocket is a good thing as well. So you know, that is definitely there. I do have to say 2001 era with the magic carpets, I do agree with you, Chris, was kind of a bit of a black spot on Adventureland. I see no need for that monstrosity to be there, but it does use the spinning camels from the previous parade, which is kind of cool. So.
And as well, they were at the Soundstage restaurant at Studios.
That's true.
They have quite a history.
They do. So, you know, all that combined, it has to be 2009.
Mr. Anthony Yaculo, what is your golden age of Adventureland?
I don't know what to say. Justin took basically everything I was going to say. I'm going to go with 2009. I think it's basically the culmination of a lot of little tweaks throughout the years, adding the Pirates League, adding the Pirate tutorial, adding the movie characters to Pirates of the Caribbean. I think it all just adds up and makes for 2009 being the definite golden age of Adventureland. I think it ages, to use the phrase, it ages like a fine wine. It just seems to get better and better and better throughout the years.
Yeah, and the one thing you said about aging, I remember seeing pictures of Adventureland from the 70s, and it's this big, wide-open space. And you go in there today, and you cannot see anything. There are so many trees. It's amazing, you know, Adventureland, because of all the tropical trees and such they planted, how much it's actually grown in. And it's one of those lands that actually does age as time goes on. Very same at Disneyland, where if you look at those older videos of 1955, opening of the Jungle Cruise, you know, you could see over the trees, you can kind of see where you were in the attraction, and now it is a complete jungle. So Adventureland is one land you could actually watch age over time.
It's definitely gotten a lot better. I know we as Disney fans use this word a lot, but I think in this day, in this age, and in Adventureland, we definitely have a lot more synergy than ever before with all the different pirate stuff, and it just adds to the story of that land.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do not like the idea of movie franchises in Adventureland, but a lot of people always lose sight that Adventureland was created as publicity for the True Life Adventure film series, and since that film series doesn't exist anymore, they have to draw from the stories of today. So keep that in mind. Scott Smith, what is your golden age of Adventureland?
Well, like everyone else here, I share no love for the magic carpets of Aladdin. It's very redundant. And I prefer the new old tiki room to the new one. However, I'm going to have to go with 2009. You have so much of what makes Adventureland great. You have the Swiss Family Treehouse. You have the iconic Jungle Cruise. And for the reason of what they did to Pirates alone makes it my favorite era, because to me, you can't detach Jack Sparrow and those characters from the ride anymore. It was imminent, like an oncoming wave. With a movie series that is as big as that one, you can't separate it. So they kind of need to be there, and the way they were incorporated. So, you know, I don't want to say low-key, but they weren't.
They were put in the right places.
Yes, they weren't shoved in your face. They weren't yelling at you like, "Hey, look at me, I'm here." And so, not to mention that it led to the rest of the ride getting improved audio and audio animatronics moving a lot smoother. The pirate dunking the mare and the whale.
He is a new figure.
Yeah, I never saw a move that good, and the whole ride just got such a spiffy makeover that the experience was new to me again. When I went on it again, it was like a completely different ride. And being one of the most classic Disney rides, one of my favorite Disney rides, that alone makes Adventureland in this era the tops, the best one. I'm not a huge fan of the dress-up craze with Pirates League, but like Justin said, it does offer a counterpoint to the Bibbidi-Bobbidi Boutique, so there's nothing really bad about it. And the Pirate Tutorial is a great show, so giving it a permanent home can't be bad. So 2009, definitely, if only for what they did to, you know, the Pirates alone.
But you know what? You know what the Pirates League really reminds me of? Back in the day when I was a kid, they used to have Lafitte's Portrait Gallery or something like that it was called. And you actually, they dress up your whole family and you get a family portrait as pirates. As a kid, I absolutely hated being put in these clothes. And they used to, if you were a kid, they actually used to shove you in a barrel. And so you'd be like half out of the barrel holding a cannonball. And I hated it. But you know what? I really love that today. I actually have that right on my desk, the whole family dressed as pirates. And
aww,
really, really, really great picture. So I think it really keeps up with that tradition. It's for a new generation where, you know, it's more than just a picture. You actually get to keep your clothes and be a pirate for as long as you want, whenever you want. So I think it's a lot better than what we had back in my day, just a picture and then, you know, give us back the clothes, kid.
And we're also obviously adults and can't really appreciate until you see a little girl in getting her dress or a little guy becoming a pirate. You can't really appreciate, you know, the magic that goes into that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could say, oh, you know, take it or leave it. But when we have our kids and actually are able to afford that, the memories alone might be worth every penny.
I would actually disagree, Scott, especially with the Mickey's Not So Scary coming up. I'm going to be heading to one of the parties, and those of us who aren't local, like you, me, Tom, and Justin, if we want to go
in this discussion.
Basically, yeah, anybody in this discussion, if we want to go to a Mickey's Not So Scary, we'd have to pack a costume. But cool. As adults, we can go to the Pirates League and get a pirate costume.
And there is plenty of people that go as adults that go as pirates to the Halloween parties. Last year saw a ton of them.
Is a costume mandatory for a Halloween party?
It's not mandatory, but a lot of people do like dressing up.
Well, like last year, I went as annoying tourist, so it worked out just fine.
And that gives us that option, you know, to go and get a costume there for not cheap, but not necessarily
but
that.
But still, you get a one-of-a-kind experience with the costume.
Absolutely. You know, whether you're an adult or a child, you know, Tom sent a video, you know, right before we started to record. And, you know, it was a guy getting a pirate makeover.
Although he's a plant from Disney Parks,
yes,
but nonetheless.
I realize he's a plant, but they were very, very, you know, they weren't treating him like a kid. They were much more adult and much more piratey than, say, they would be with a 5.5-year-old who would probably start crying if he was, you know, being all rough, gruff, and piratey.
Yeah, exactly. I think they know there's an adult audience for that, and I think the adult audience is going to do quite well.
Yeah, and they adjust accordingly. And yeah. I think that's very good and very cool of Disney.
All right, so let's get back on topic. I think it's my turn now. And I, as well, am going to go with the 2009 era, and I know this probably surprised a lot of people because a lot of people know my love of the Tropical Serenade, the original Tiki Room. We only saw it 5 times at Disneyland a few weeks ago. You know, as much as I love that attraction, I do like the new one just as much because I think there's a lot of inside jokes for those of us who have seen the original many, many times. So having those two different versions of the show, I like both of them very much. So on top of that, I think, just as Justin stole my answer before, I think the new Pirates of the Caribbean with the movie additions, at least for the Florida version, has enhanced the story greatly, and there finally is a true story there. California, there always was a great sense of closure when you got off that attraction. I think the movie additions there have sort of, you know, made things a little weirder. But it works really well. It ties in almost perfectly to the Florida storyline, and that's what I like about it. How Davy Jones is foreboding and tells you all about what you're about to experience, and you drop down into this battle with Barbossa on the ship, and of course, this whole story of Jack Sparrow eluding them and eventually finding the treasure works really, really well in Florida. And I think it doesn't lose any of that charm that Pirates of the Caribbean always had in Florida. I think it's just about the same. Again, I'm not a big fan of Magic Carpets of Aladdin either. Nonetheless, I think the theming of the shops there is really well done. Agrabah Bazaar and Zanzibar Trading Company. Really, really nice. And I think having the Aladdin character meet and greets is nice there too. I mean, they fit in well. Could we have had a better Aladdin attraction somewhere else? Maybe replacing the Swiss Family Treehouse? Probably, but nonetheless, it's a nice area without the Magic Carpets attraction. So all in all, I think 2009 is great. And then, of course, more recently, the other pirate movie updates we've had to the land. The Pirates League is one of the most beautifully themed little shops I have ever seen. If you are a fan of the movies, even if you don't want to have a makeover done, go in this shop. It is absolutely magnificent. All the flags from the third movie, so many accents from the films, wonderfully done. And the same for the new stage. The stage has a lot of quote-unquote props from the films as well. So just a great coherent story to that whole Pirates area now, on top of what I think is a good tiki room, and just great theming, and of course, what I think is still the best Jungle Cruise in the world, the Florida version, which has only gotten better over the years, especially after a pretty decent refurbishment a few years ago. So that's why I think the 2009 era is the best. And since now everyone's votes are in, there's not going to be any controversy this time. We have decided that 2009 is indeed the golden age of Adventureland. So that number is going to go into our equation. That is correct. 2009, the golden age of Adventureland.
Hi everyone, this is Brandon Struve coming to you somewhat live from Orlando, Florida. I just got back a few minutes ago from the grand opening of the Sum of All Thrills attractions and Innoventions. I had heard that it was going to open today, so I got to Epcot bright and early at 9 o'clock to witness the grand opening ceremony, only to find out that it was a closed-door private ceremony for Raytheon and Innoventions employees only. They had the entire Innoventions East, or Innoventions Blue, however you want to call it, blocked off. So I just rode Spaceship Earth really quick, and once I got done with that, the attraction was open. Like I said, this is in Innoventions East, or Blue, depending on how you want to call it. That's a side with Mission Space, Universe of Energy, and Test Track. And inside Innoventions, it's right across from the Don't Waste It exhibit from Waste Management. So outside of the queue, before you even get in, there is a test vehicle that you can get in to make sure you're not going to have a claustrophobic fit or make sure you actually do fit in the ride vehicle. They seem to have a lot of regulations on height and size, both too small and too big, so make sure you test those out and read all the warnings before you get in. And then while you're in the queue, you're given a card, sort of like a little credit card, that they tell you you'll be using to design your own ride. Also in the queue, they go over all the safety warnings again and again and again. I guess with it either being such a new ride or new technology, they're a little scared about how the public's going to react to it. So there is a lot of safety briefings. After the queue, you go into a briefing room, 8 people at a time, to watch a 3-minute pre-show starring Spencer and Grace, two of Epcot's new and probably soon to be overquoted pre-show hosts. I was able to record the pre-show before they told me to stop recording, so here's the pre-show to the new Sum of All Thrills.
Grace? Grace!
Come here.
My design totally rocks. It is the best one I've done yet. It's the absolute pinnacle of thrill engineering mastery. Check it out.
Spencer, it looks like you were right. Your new design totally rocked the system.
So not cool, Grace. Just a few quick fixes here, and we're gonna get this...
Not now, Spencer. We've got guests.
Yes.
Come on, let's say hello to our talented group of up-and-coming engineers who are about to design their very own thrill rides. Hi, I'm Grace.
And I'm Spencer.
Welcome to the Sum of All Thrills, part of Raytheon's commitment to help inspire a new generation of technologists and innovators.
And we're here to show you how engineers use math and science to create some really amazing things. And then you'll get a chance to create some engineering magic of your own.
Our friends at Raytheon have thousands of engineers who innovate exciting ideas every day, because that's what engineers do. Use math and science to make incredible things come to life. Like race cars that go over 200 miles per hour and spaceships that go to the moon. They design the longest bridges, the tallest skyscrapers, and the tiniest machines known to exist.
Not to mention the really important work of designing the latest video games. Making musical instruments. Creating the coolest toys. And my personal favorite, dreaming up totally wild thrill rides.
And what do all these engineers have in common, Spencer?
They're all good looking, like me.
All engineers use powerful tools to control and understand math and science. These tools allow them to create amazing things. Now, it's your turn to use these tools to design and ride your very own thrill experience on our KUKA robotic simulator. Spencer, care to demonstrate?
Absolutely! Take a look at our engineering station. First, choose the type of ride you want to design. Then customize your design using these cool tools. This tricked out ruler here lets you change the height or width of each part. Oh, and this knob will let you change the speed.
Don't forget, Spencer, those tools also help you control how much energy you use to pull off all those thrills.
Let's see what happens when I push it to the max.
Meet Crash, another one of the tools you'll be using. He's our test bot to help you preview your ride and to make sure it's going to work the way you planned. Crash, you okay?
Yeah.
What Spence forgot to show you is that you can use math and science to fine-tune your experience. These meters on the left measure how much energy you have, how much you need, and if you have enough to complete the track. That way you can be sure you have enough energy to create a ride that'll really soar.
And now it's your turn. When you get to the design table, start by selecting your language and then follow the on-screen instructions. Don't forget to take your Sum of All Thrills card with you. Raytheon made it possible for you to continue your experience when you get home. Trust me, it's worth keeping.
Do us proud, engineers. You'll do great. And remember, control the math, control the thrill.
After the pre-show, you exit the room and you enter a design lab where there's four different tables. I rode single rider, so I got my own table, which meant I got to design my own ride. The tables are touch screens, and you're given the choice right away between three different rides. Each is a different intensity. There's the lowest intensity, which is bobsled, there's middle, which is roller coaster, and then there's the highest intensity, which is jet, which is the one I chose. So basically, they walk you through step by step on choosing track piece by track piece, kind of like a roller coaster tycoon type of deal. When you choose a piece, you get to change like the height of the hill or how fast it goes by using a ruler and a knob that you actually set on different areas of the table. And you can change the size, you can change how fast things go. It's really cool. You have to test every piece you put in just to make sure it has enough energy. You are supposed to be learning while you're doing this experience, so it's kind of talking about math and physics, of course in a really simple and fun way. It's pretty simple to do, you just have to make sure you have enough power and there's like a little gauge. They give you about 5 minutes to design your ride, and afterwards you head upstairs to one of the four KUKA arms, and you have to put everything, including cameras, video cameras, even binaural microphones, into a locker. And then you hop into one of the KUKA arms. A shell comes down over your head and torso, but your legs are left dangling out. And you basically just go for a ride on the KUKA arm. Inside there's this very wide screen that shows your ride as you created it. There's wind blowing in your face to simulate speed. Each KUKA arm holds two people. But you're separated in there, but they did put a little camera in each one so you can see the person you're riding with and how they're reacting to different things. So after the ride, they let you keep the card they gave you, and they tell you to go to www.mathmovesu.com, where you can go and you can look at your roller coaster. You can't see your footage, but you can look at the ride you created. And then you can also create other rides and, you know, do some more learning and fun Raytheon stuff. So overall, I think it was a great experience. This is the perfect Innoventions experience. By 10 o'clock, the line was pretty long. That's halfway due to it's a very low capacity. and halfway because it looks like it's going to be incredibly popular. It wasn't too intense. I did Jet, which is the most intense one, and I'd say Mission Space was much worse. And even Star Tours was a lot jerkier. The KUKA arm technology makes it really smooth and a really nice ride, so it's not too intense if you're worried about that. I'd suggest to everyone to at least try some of All Thrills out. If you don't want it too intense, they do have the bobsled version, which is not much at all. Just watching from the outside, you get a good idea of what you're going to be doing. You can see some of the KUKA arms were just flying all over the place, spinning upside down, twirling up and down. And some of them were just kind of slowly moving along. So it's basically, it's up to you how you want it. And I think probably the best thing about this new exhibit is it's full of the original Epcot spirit. It's very educational and entertaining, which was the original intent of Epcot. You can definitely tell the edutainment factor is in this new ride. So I suggest everyone get out to Epcot, get out to Innoventions, and try out the new Sum of All Thrills.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that is going to do it for a late episode 114 of the WDW News Today podcast. As always, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. You make this show possible and worth doing each and every week. I would especially like to thank you for tuning into another late edition. I know we're never really quite on schedule here. We try our very best to be, but nonetheless, you guys are there with us each and every week, and I cannot thank you enough. You are truly the greatest audience on the planet. Your devotion to the show and the fact that you really don't care whether we come out on Monday or whatever, and your understanding of all the tremendous work we do here at WDWNT is deeply, deeply appreciated. It's now time for the big finish, giving you all the useful reminders you'll need to know in the coming week. First of all, to contact us here at the show with any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at wdwnewstoday@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail message at 206-666-2982. If you have not done so already, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's a great way to let everyone know that there is a Walt Disney World podcast out there for them. Be sure to visit the WDWNT Network community forums to vote for upcoming segments and to view the show notes for this and previous episodes. I apologize that we're a few episodes behind on the show notes, but I'm going to try my best to get to some of those older ones and actually get them up there on the forums. But I promise this week's show will definitely have show notes on the forums. You can definitely go check them out at wdwnewstoday.com/forums, F-O-R-U-M-S. Do not forget to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/WDWNT. And as well, make me a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWNT. While you're over there on Facebook, be sure to join the WDWNT Network Facebook group. Just want to remind everybody about WDWNT The Weekend. It is coming next August to the Walt Disney World Resort. We have a major announcement to make very soon about that. If you want to be the first to know, sign up for the newsletter at WDWNTTheWeekend.com. Coming up on next week's show, a very, very special episode 115, where we are going to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Wonders of Life Pavilion at Epcot. It is going to be a really great show. We got a lot of fun stuff planned for that. Anyone that's listened to any of our specials knows that WDWNT always goes all out for those shows, and next week will certainly be no different. A very special edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly next week, and we're going to play a ton of audio to help us all relive the now-gone Wonders of Life. So, a very special show coming up next week. And because we just previewed next week's show, that means that this week's is over, and I can officially end it with the corniest catchphrase in all of podcasting. That's going to do it for this week. See you all next week. See ya real soon.
Thanks for taking part in another episode of the WDW News Today podcast and celebrating news today. Please join us again next week. And remember to celebrate news today and every day throughout the WDWNT network by visiting WDWNT.com. This is Brian Summer saying goodnight and have a pleasant tomorrow.